Well, it's good to be back with you, and it's a real privilege to do a training program that will equip a number of you when you leave here to go back to your own churches with a vision of something that you can do that your church can work together in. And we pray that this will be a blessing for you. I put up a couple of the 16 adult banners that we have. It's fine. Oh, okay. Thank you. We make the Health Expo banners based on the 8 laws of health. Sometimes we call them the 8 doctors from Ministry of Healing. And that is to, if you use a New Start order, that would be nutrition and exercise and water and sunshine, temperance, air, rest, and what? And trust in God. It's a beautiful concept, isn't it? Amen. To be able to have that. And the Lord led us to develop a series of banners, and we do 2 for each of the laws of health. And we just put up 2 different ones. But what we do is we have, if for air, for instance, we have the one main picture, nearly life-size, focusing on the concept, and then the circle will continue in the second blue one, also saying air, and it will have the text, like this one does for temperance, pointing out different concepts of why air is important and so on. These banners in pairs sit behind the table of each screening station, and it just gives you a professional look of credibility when you open your doors and invite the public to come in. I will give you some more specific information about them tomorrow. Today we're going to focus on how the expo is organized, what we do at each station, so you can get a very practical overview of what it's like. Before I do that, though, I want to go back to the last general conference that Ellen White ever attended, near the end of her life, really, in 1909. What year did she die? 1915. And it was in June of 1909. This lady is living in St. Lita, California. The general conference is in the Washington, D.C. area, and she has to take an old-fashioned train, sooty coal car and all, for 2 weeks, clear across the country to give a few messages at the General Conference, and one of them was on health. And I quote from part of it. You can get it word for word in the General Conference bulletin that was recorded. Here's part of it. And it's interesting, the title is called A Plea for Medical Missionary Work. Now, she could have said a call for medical missionary work, but it's late in her life, and I wonder why she said a plea. Because it wasn't happening very much. She's pleading with us that we should take it more seriously. Is there any other church in the world that has a health message like Seventh-day Adventists? But are we using it like we could use it? And so she pled that in the future we do more. You'll see that. Here's what she says. General Conference Bulletin in June of 1909. The end of all things is at hand. How true that is. The signs foretold by Christ are what? Fast fulfilling. Then she says, there are souls in many places who have not yet heard the message, and here's the core of it now in her statement. Henceforth, medical missionary work is to be carried forward with an earnestness with which it has never yet been done. How is that for a parting encouragement? We want to take it very seriously. And then it concludes here, and there's more in the article, but these were the highlights. This work is the door through which the truth is to find entrance to where? The large cities. Are we supposed to live in the large cities? No. But are we to work the large cities? Yes. Lot thought he might win Sodom and Gomorrah, but he learned afterward, it says, that everything he thought he could have achieved by living in Sodom and Gomorrah, he could have achieved by living other places, and it cost him a great price. So we have a work to do in the cities, and medical missionary work opens the doors all around the world. I've seen it personally as I've traveled many, many times in different parts of the world. Well, you see here a little picture of the banners that I was describing to you. And I said a while ago, here I have one of the air banners. You see here on just next to me this particular one, don't you? And next to it would be normally, if I had all of them put up here for you to see them, it would be the texts that talk about air. Or over here on my on your left, I have one of the temperance text parts. And so that particular one would have this man illustrating in a positive way the importance of temperance. We recently, when we started making Health Expo banners, it was so expensive to buy a aluminum frame of any kind. It was like several thousand dollars just for the framing systems for 16 banners. So we originally taught people how to do this by going to Lowe's or Home Depot and buying 3/4 inch PVC, and we got them some Velcro, and you remember that, Elizabeth. And you put the Velcro on, and it works great for a season or two, but the hot weather, they get sticky, and they touch each other, and it gets gooey, and it's, but it was the best we could do. And it was, we were determined to do something economical. And then we got to the next stage, we got what I call the Christmas tree stand, the telescoping stand, and they were 100% better, but they're nothing like these. And now we've got the new roll-ups, and it's so easy to use them and put them away that we're just thrilled to be able to have them. It just works like a reverse window shade, and you can just drop it down and take the pole apart. It comes in three sections, and you just put it down. It fits in a slot in the back, and the legs fold up, and you stick everything in the canvas bag that we supply, and you put it in the trunk of your car, and you're ready to go home. Or ride it on your motorcycle. You know, it's pretty compact. So it's very, very nice to use. And the banners are more protected this way because they're in their own container the second you're done with them. And they're just easy to put up. It just takes a few minutes. And they come all pre-assembled for you. So that's just a little of the background. If you'd like to know more of the cost and whatever, I'll take some time, probably tomorrow, to go over that and tell you how to get different kinds of supplies that might help you. But that's just an idea of the 8 laws of health in the 16 banners in pairs of 2. Is that understandable to everybody, how we did that based on the 8 laws of health? Now, when you set up an expo, you can use almost any kind of a building as long as it's at least the size of a typical classroom. A school classroom would be about the minimum size you'd want to use. I like a room maybe 40 feet by 50 feet or larger. And what you do then is you just put the banners in pairs of 2s. So you got 8 positions and you get 8 tables like this one here. And you put a little tablecloth on it and then a pair of banners behind it, like the sunshine booth, and you'd get your nurses and they would sit down here with their blood pressure cuffs or digital machines, and they would do the blood pressures. That's what we do at the sunshine booth, because sunshine actually does affect positively blood pressure if it's in the right amount. So at each place we have a table and a pair of banners, and we just scatter them throughout the room. Well, now what order are you going to put them in? Well, we do not necessarily design the HER, the Health Education Resources banners. We do not follow New START per se. It's a great acronym. Weimar actually copyrighted it. And we don't use that because we want more flexibility. The public doesn't care about acronyms. They care about what you're doing. If you're offering screening, they don't care what you call it. If it's free, they want it, right? If you offer apple pie, do you have to have a color brochure to advertise it if it's free, or can black and white would even work? Just get the word out. People are going to say, I don't care about the flyer, where's the pie? And so it's kind of that way. I think sometimes we get hung up on logos and whatever. They have a very limited use to the public. So the thing that we want to do is be absolutely practical and have what would be interesting to them, and they're going to come. Does that make sense? So let's talk about how we arrange the stations. We have 8 stations. Does that sound logical to you? Because how many laws of health are there? 8. So that's our starting point. But because I said we believe in flexibility, you can have 12 stations, as I mentioned to you briefly when I showed you pictures, and I'll come back to that. But for a starting point, you can have 8. Now, at this point, we're going to give you a handout so you can look on something written. I promised you one yesterday, and if I could have a couple volunteers, we'll go ahead and put these out for you. You might split those up, and someone on this side over here, we could just pass them out quickly, and you'll be all set to go. Let's start at the beginning. And on page 2, when you get your handout, in the middle of the page, Christ's example shows us 5 steps for effective ministry. Some of you have been attending the seminar by Brother David in the morning, and he's been covering how to do personal evangelism. And some of the concepts he's sharing is basically similar to what the 5 points are mentioned here as well. As you might imagine, we probably all read from the same books. But you know, the idea of mingling with people that you want to help. We need to find ways to mingle with the community. Get acquainted with their needs and then be honest about your interest in them. 3, look for means and ways to help. And then 4, keep their friendship and their trust as you get to know them through different experiences you have in helping them. And then invite them to get acquainted with the Word of God when you sense the opportunity is ripe. So a health screening program is a fishing program looking for ways of getting to mingle with people so we can get to know them better and to help them. Page 3. Now today, not only governments in general, as we see, when the health care program was recently pushed through our country, we can be happy about it maybe if you didn't have health insurance. We just still don't know how it's going to work. We don't know how we're going to pay for it. But it does kind of typify what's happening, though, around the world. Governments are in trouble over health care. Everybody wants health care, but there's not enough money to pay for it. And it's not just America, it's all over the world. And so eventually, governments cut programs. They eventually cut them, and the care gets less and less. And this is where Adventists have a tremendous opportunity. If we're trained as good medical missionaries, we're going to always find there's needs there to help people. So if we work with our communities now, if we're active with our communities locally, and they get to know us as people that are balanced and good to work with, they're going to look to us, I think, more and more as time goes on. And that's what we'd like to be able to do, to be able to serve them and to be able to use these kinds of materials as a way to help the community. And the expo, I see it as the first step to opening up a community as we work with them. I'd like to discuss with you 3 approaches that I alluded to yesterday for doing a health expo, and that will be found in the middle of page 4. Building friendships with them is the first one. How to build friendships of confidence through a cycle of friendship over a period of time. Secondly, another approach I want to discuss with you is the direct approach for cultures that are more open to spiritual and physical concepts mingled together at the very beginning. And I'll explain what that really means. And finally, conducting one-day kinds of events, like at a health fair. Now, I've had the privilege of working with the Finleys on several occasions, and they're a joy to work with. They're so dedicated, and they live the health message. They really do. They're very conscientious folks. Exercise, no matter whether they're in Singapore or Chattanooga, they get out and they get their exercise. They're very careful about their diet. They're very disciplined people, and I admire them very much, and they're very focused on soul winning. And they love to use a variety of contact programs to reach the public, including the Health Expo, cooking schools, small group programs prior to his program, all funneling into the grand evangelistic campaign. The method that he likes the best is the one I've got illustrated here with boxes, is that is the building a cycle of friendship. If you can take time with people, if you can look at a whole year's calendar or 18 months, and you say, you know, next fall we'd like to conclude with an evangelistic series, or next spring we'd like to do an evangelistic series, then back up from there. What will you do to get people ready? It's one thing to want to do it, but how will you get an audience? How will you have people that are ready to hear the message? And so we look then at where to start the Health Expo, followed by other health programs that give us time to be in contact with people multiple times and in multiple ways. So we give in some example that after the Health Expo, you could follow very quickly within 2 weeks of a cooking school. You put it a month off and people, you can tell them it's coming, they just forget it. It needs to be imminent. Right after the expo, you've got a little brochure on your table at the expo to show them the date and who's going to be doing it, where you're going to do it, what you're going to have, why they want to come to the cooking school, if there's any charge. They want to know the information up front. You want to have that ready at the Health Expo. And if you want better mileage for the same expo, you're going to have two programs ready. So you may have a cooking school with dates ready, and you may also be able to advertise some other programs you're having in the next few months as well. Let them have the whole list and try to get them committed to being interested in some of them. You'll get much more out of it. And then eventually then, that funnels into a public reaping series. Now I've asked Mark Finley why he doesn't use plan number two more often, the second plan, and let's just skip forward to a moment to that one, and I'll come back to this one. So page six. Because the first time I worked with Mark Finley, we used plan two on page six, and it was so effective. And I just fell in love with that approach. You know, you hold a health expo for a couple of days, and by the weekend, you're into your evangelistic series, or even you start the evangelistic series and the health expo the same night. Either way, and boom, you're right into it. 1 hour health expo, another hour the evangelistic series. So in Bucharest, in Romania, that's how we did it. And we got 90-some percent of the people, I would say almost 100% of the people, if they came to the expo, they also stayed in the same building to hear him speak the next hour. Well, he's explained to me, he says, you know, in third world countries, those are very loose labels, but in developing countries where they have not had so many options, where there's not so many media things going on, videos, TVs, and so forth, the people are much more receptive to transitioning into something spiritual quickly. They're much more receptive to anything that's reasonable because they don't have many circuses going through town. But in our country, we have so many things going on. People are absolutely overloaded, and so they get pretty picky what they're going to stick around and listen to. And so if they come to you because you've advertised a health expo 1 hour, and the next hour you're preaching about Daniel, even Daniel 2, they're not mentally necessarily ready. They'll come a night or two, but then they drop out because they just weren't tuned in necessarily. Not everybody, but most of them may drop out. And I've come to see that he's right. That's probably true. That's more the situation in our country. So it's probably better, and in fact, in my own practice, that's what I do. I help our pastor by having, on my part, multiple health programs. Other church members are running the VBS. They just finished last week, a very successful VBS program. Our pastor's wife was a local non-Adventist girl in Dunlap, Tennessee, where we live today, who first heard about Seventh-day Adventists through the Vacation Bible School in the church she just held it at last week. That was her first contact. So our church is doing multiple things. We have a community service center in town, in the little downtown Dunlap. We have multiple buttons that we're pushing. And in July 8, we start three nights a week an evangelistic series with a little supper and then our spiritual message, and then in the little table groups, follow-up questions and so forth. But we're looking forward to it. But we've been more than a year or so at all these other programs making friends with the community. And so July will be a reaping time. And our little church, it could easily net 10 baptisms, which would be significant. It did that. It did 12 baptisms just last month in our sister church in Jasper, which is the same size, using the same approach. So we need to keep plugging along. I always enjoy meeting people who tell me how many different things they're doing in their churches, or that I listen for this. We do a cooking school every 3 months. You know, Dr. Nedley's wife, Erica, in her community in Ardmore, Oklahoma, every quarter she has a cooking school, has done it for years. The community can plan on it like a clock. People talk about it. They pass the word on. Oh, haven't you ever been with the Nedley programs? This is the non-Adventist public. Oh, they have one every 3 months, and they know right where to find out when it's going to be. You see how it builds and builds. When I was a pastor full-time in the Michigan Conference, I ran so many health programs for 4 years in one district that when I was being transferred to a new district, they couldn't find a pastor to take my place because they wanted one that would follow up the health programs. And they couldn't find anybody. And they had to hire a dentist to take over my church district in order to carry on the health emphasis and make the preaching secondary. And he was capable of doing both. But it just made such a difference. And that's what we hope that can be the same for you. To have programs after programs after programs, a cycle of friendship. Now there's several ways you can do, back to page 4, there's several ways you can do the cycle of friendship program. For instance, when you have the health expo, and this is probably what we do most of all, we'll have a health expo period and might have it all day long and screen people and then invite them to a follow-up seminar. That's probably the most common thing I do. But there's another way to do it. And that would be, it's a two-step approach at the same time, and that's explained at the bottom of page 4. You have a health seminar along with your health expo. And so the people right away, when they come to the health expo, they get 1 hour of expo, and then they come into the rest of the building for an hour of health lecture. And they just get to hear what you're like, and the Holy Spirit can speak to them and encourage them that what you're sharing is very reasonable. And again, they could be open to having more information from you. On page 5, it's just a little schedule. For instance, if you were doing that approach, how you could organize your team, and by 6 o'clock, you open the expo with your screening stations, and about 7, you begin to taper it down so that by 7:30, you could put them into the main auditorium and start your health talk. And it just gives you a little bit more exposure with them. And it also has a little bit more pull, because when you make your brochure to give out to the community what you're going to offer, that brochure is going to make the difference between whether they come or not, right? Because they have to learn about it. Or when you tell the radio program, if you have like we have a station 1190 in our town, and they'll let us come on anytime we want. It's just a local station. That's what's so nice about small communities. You want to be able to list the different things that you're offering, right? The blood pressures, the computer health age appraisal, the peak flow meter, the body fat scale, and you can describe some of these things. And to be able to tell them that there'll be a health lecture that night on such a topic. The more varieties there are, the more likely something's going to catch somebody's eye and help turn the decision that they're going to take the time to come. Okay? So that's basically that. Any questions so far on those first couple of approaches that you might want me to clarify? Okay, the third approach is Oh, let me go back to page 6 and just cover a little bit more of the direct approach. If you do get a chance to use a direct approach, if not in this country, if you're on a mission trip or something, at the bottom of page 6 is kind of an example of how we did it in Bucharest. We had not only the Health Expo the first hour, but they could go to one part of the entrance for the Health Expo, or they could go to side rooms for cooking classes and other health talks, all simultaneous during that first hour. It was just a medley of options. And then the second hour, they came to hear in the big auditorium the speaker for the night, Mark Finley. That's a little outline of how that worked. And there comes a time when you get halfway through the evangelistic series, you can taper back the Health Expo because everybody's gone through it once or twice. And when you see what you'll notice is that people will just drop off coming that hour early and just come at the preaching time later. At least that's what we're hoping they'll keep doing, and pray that they do. Page 7, other options, other uses. Because these come in pairs, you can take them apart. You know, you can use them in different kinds of arrangements. You don't even have to use the. If you were crowded in a booth, if you had a booth at a health fair, booths are typically 10 feet by 10 feet and a table behind you, right? So you could just take, instead of even the picture ones, you could take two or three with the text on it and put them as your backdrops just to have something to refer to. Maybe you're emphasizing the importance of drinking more water, and you have the water one up there, and you focus on that, and you give bottles of water to people, or whatever you're going to be doing there. Or if you're doing a computer health age appraisal or something like that, you could each year you could use a different few of the banners as backdrops for you in the program. Okay, so that's just a little bit of the different situations that you could use the banners under, and believe me, I'm sure you'll think of other ways to use them as well. Now let's focus on arranging the room again. I started on that, and I decided to go back and just finish the first few pages here. I'd like to now cover the way that we arrange the room. So here's a little diagram for you. I hope that you can see it all right. You'll see now at the bottom left-hand corner where it said, did you see where it said entrance there? And now it changes, and it says, given the personal record. It's very important that you set up your room in such a way that there's basically one entrance. If I was using this room for the expo, I'd be closing all but one door if it wasn't so hot. And we'd have a nice air-conditioned room, you see, for the expo. But whatever. But typically, a classroom's going to have one main door. When I did one in Chattanooga at the convention center for Mark Finley, we were doing it inside the large convention hall, and we looked like a postage stamp because he had all the chairs set up for his meetings. So we just used the back of the main auditorium, and I took a big rope, and I roped off with stanchions my area. And then people entered into the open rope area. And that way we could funnel them and go around their circle within this big auditorium. It worked very well as well. When they come in the door, you want two of your most friendly people that don't just jump on people and threaten them, but are the kind that you just always feel comfortable with. You got to find those kinds of people. You need them at the door, right? And so they greet the people. And they give them a personal record. It's just a half sheet. I'll show you it on the screen in a minute. They give them a half sheet piece of paper. They put their name on it. And they carry that to all the stations because you're going to be writing down their results from each screening position on that record for them. And at the end of their tour through all the stations, they stop at the trust booth, sit down with a health counselor, and give them that record to look at, and the health counselor will see their blood pressure, their weight, their body fat, how they did on the Harvard Step Test. All the information's collected on there, and it gives us a point of reference to discuss with them their health profile. They can keep it if they want, because on one other paper I'll show you later, we already have their names and addresses and telephone number. So that's all we do at the door, welcome them and get them started. Now they go next to the nutrition table, and there we have a body fat machine, or body fat monitor. It looks like a bathroom scale, but it's more than that. It's a digital machine that not only gives the body the weight of your body, but it tells the percent of body fat that you have to muscle, and it also gives the percent of water. You know, we're made largely of water, and if you're dehydrated, you don't get a very high figure. So it gives all three of those figures on the scale. So we get that information and write it down. We get their height if they're not sure about their height. We measure their height with a little height chart that we have. We do those two things at the body, at the nutrition station. And then they go on next door to Sunshine, where they get their blood pressure taken. I like to get these basic parameters right away with them before they get busy with the other stations. I want their blood pressure, their height, their weight, their body fat, because we'll use some of those figures later on in screening, and it'll save time if they don't have to do it someplace later on. So it's easy to get it at the beginning. Also, I like to get the blood pressure and pulse early before they do the exercise step test, right? Or before they get their finger pricked for some blood for cholesterol or glucose. So it's just kind of good to get a baseline as they get started. Yes?
Why do you like to take the blood pressure before, take the other parameters before the blood pressure?
Well, it'd be fine to take the blood pressure first. It doesn't really matter of those two stations, but you know, they might have just run in from the parking lot when it was raining, and let them have a couple of minutes to just normalize.
I was just wondering, because I found out that I took my blood pressure one morning, then I went out and worked hard in the garden, came back in and rested just a moment, and then took my blood pressure again, and it was about 40
milliliters.
Anyway, lower
deciliter, yes.
Than it was before.
Mm-hmm.
It comes down when you exercise.
Uh-huh. So it came down for him when he worked in the garden. Does that make sense? Yes. I like working in the garden. It lowers my blood pressure too. So anyway, that's how we do it. And our main point is to get those few things done before they get busy with the other stations. Then they turn the corner. Now, like I say, I don't always get to have a nice rectangular room to do this, but most of the time that's the situation. I remember one time in Ukraine, we had rented an auditorium that had 600 seats in it, and it had a very long foyer, but narrow. So we just put everything in a straight row all the way down. All eight stations were just one after the other. There was no circle. They started at one end, finished the other end, and went into the auditorium. But normally, most times you're borrowing a room or part of a room or the foyer, and you can still set it up in a rectangular shape or square. So in the water booth, you can give them drinks of water, either by bottle or pour them a drink, or if you have a good source of water, however you're doing it. There we'd like to show them a hydrotherapy demonstration. Phoebe will do that for us tomorrow. So those are the couple things that we do there. We give them some handouts as well before they leave. And then they go over to the exercise step test. And I would say not everybody wants to do the step test. We don't push anyone to do it. But a number of folks would enjoy doing that. It just takes 3 minutes to do the stepping part, but you've got to get there. You have to have their resting pulse. Ah, but they got that at the door almost, remember? So we have that one already. Then you want to get an exercise pulse after they do their 3 minutes. Then you sit them down and they wait 5 minutes and see if their heart rate goes back to what it was when they started. According to the Harvard protocol, if they're in average good physical condition, it should go back to the same level it was when they started, because it wasn't that strenuous. Then they go on from there to the little peak flow meter, and we'll demonstrate that to you in just a minute. And they try the peak flow meter and see how they do on blowing the peak flow meter. Now, if you had
a pulmonary
machine or someone that specialized in respiratory therapy, there I go, and you could actually get a pulmonary machine that would be more sophisticated, but it costs more. And we don't own that or sell those, so we use a simple one that if they're a smoker, if they're a shallow breather, have poor posture, or don't exercise, they just don't do very well on it, including Adventists. So if you're a shallow breather, you don't get this needle up very far. And it just highlights to them areas to work on. It's a very simple test, but people enjoy doing that. Then finally they come to the rest booth, and that's where we do the anti-stress chair massage. You practiced that yesterday. Our clock is going so fast today, but I've promised you another session today because we want you to do it 3 times before we're over. And then they come to the health aids, the computer health aids program. You'll see that tomorrow. And then they sit down with all their results and talk to a counselor. And we try to be sensitive to their needs and encourage them on and be sure that they know and reminded for the second time of the upcoming health programs. Now we have also what we call the plus arrangement, and it's just got one more station. And I'm just going to fly through it. The only difference is it's adding one more table to do blood cholesterol. And the reason we do that, we have the basic program, is we're finding that not everybody has the funds or the people or legal matters to do the blood screening. So sometimes we just skip using glucose or cholesterol. You have to check with the laws of your state and the laws of your county. So, and then you have to check with your budget, because it costs about 75 cents to do a glucose screening, and it costs about $3 or more to do the cholesterol strip. That's just the materials to do it, not even the machine. And so someone has to pay for it. I like to advertise that everything's free, because the rest of the stuff doesn't really cost us anything. So one thing you can do, you can say everything is free, except that, and put a little asterisk and say a donation, or you could say for the first 50 people we'll do this test, then you know how much supplies to get. If you get a lot of supplies and you don't use them, those kinds of things are dated and they'll be out of date within a year. So you do have to use them up. So you have to have some way of working that out. Another thing is if you ask the county health department, sometimes they'll come in and bring their equipment and do the glucose screening for you, and they'll cover the cost for it and just invite them to come and join you. I don't mind working with the public, the non-Adventist public in the health expo, because it's usually just a one-day program. I'm inviting people that come to my health expo. Really, my goal is to bring them into more serious programs, of which we're going to be fully in charge of. So it's fine, and it works very well to use people from the community. In fact, if your church is so small and you don't have enough people to help you to do the expo, get your neighbors and nurse friends and whoever's interested in health to help you. You make a good friend with them, and they also often will come into your other classes too, and you've developed not only a good friend, but a contact. So all that can work together. So anyway, they get their personal record. Then we start with temperance, and they do the body fat. We just use a different banner there. All this is in your handout, so I'm just going to, again, show you. There's your glucose and cholesterol, your hydros bumped down one, then your step test, your peak flow meter, your massage, finally the computer health age appraisal with ending with counseling. You can see the difference in your handout. This what you have in your hands, the 14 pages in your hand, is a little less than half of the full Health Expo manual. We just printed an abbreviated one for you. But in the full manual, if you buy a set, you can buy the manual by itself, or you can download it for free off the website. But when you do buy the Health Expo kit, you get everything in your hands so you're ready to start. And again, tomorrow I'm going to focus on more of those details. So here's just some pictures of having at each of these different stations, going through the glucose cholesterol screening, the Harvard fitness test, the hydrotherapy demonstration, drinking some water along with it, the blood pressure, counseling people, doing the blood pressures, the body fat scale, the peak flow meter, and massage. And you can see people enjoy that, don't they? That was in Portugal. And then the health age program, and explain it to people. And finally, the counseling. It's a beautiful program, and everybody can have a part in it. Let's look at some of the forms. that you use. This is a copy of the personal record. I often just use the right-hand side. I'm kind of cheap. I don't usually print them in color. I just print them in black and white. I don't use the pictures, but we did do a design if you want to use it. On this side, you can print the whole as one sheet and then just fold it in half. But I just usually print in black and white this sheet, and that's where we write down every station they go to. And we also have on the website and on the Health Aid CD all of these forms, so you can just copy them off of there. And we've purposely said at the bottom, rather than copyrighted, we've said free for duplication. So we want you to be able to use them freely and not have to ask permission. It's there to serve you. This particular one's not as fancy, but you can retype it and add something you wanted to do with it differently. We've got several of them now that you can edit rather than use them just like they are. This is the two forms of for the Discover Your Health Aids program. That's a software program that's based on the Breslow Longevity Study. And you ask them the six questions about whether they get exercise regularly and how much, whether they smoke or drink alcohol, whether they eat a good breakfast, eat between meals, or get 7 to 8 hours sleep. Those are kind of the basic questions. They fill that out with this one sheet here, and then you put this sheet into the computer. It looks just like this. You pre-print this part of it, but the computer puts their numbers in those little squares. Can you see the little squares there? It'll say how old their regular age is. It'll put their name there. You type that quickly into the computer, and then it will print their results and highlight which ones they need to make improvements in. And so I'll show you that program, and we can discuss that a little bit more. There are handouts that you can use that are published. We designed them and wrote them, but Hamlin Publication prints them. That's also in the full manual, where to get those in Michigan from Hamlin Publications. They're available, and we won't take time to go into advertising. We would like to be able to, I think, do the massage practice right now. We'll probably need to go till 15 or 20 minutes after. Is that okay with everybody? And we'll do a massage practice on each other again, because the more you repeat something, the quicker you'll feel comfortable with it. You'll notice from yesterday, if you did it, how many did it yesterday? Or let me do it this way. How many didn't do it yesterday? Okay, so most of you did it, and we'll catch all of you up. But you'll be surprised at how much you'll grow from one day to the next in doing this. So what you need to do then is to find a partner. Ladies, if you can find another lady, and the men, find someone else, another man to work with, and one behind the other, one sitting down and one standing behind you, and Phoebe will lead you. Did you bring your handouts back, or do you need another one? If you need another one, just hold your hand up. We have some up here in front. Okay, some on this side. We'll just go around and give you one if you need it. Let's do that for the next few minutes. And after that, I'll divide you into two groups, and we're going to have you practice some of the screening equipment up here on the table. We have a lady up here that could use a partner if there's an extra lady right here next to Larry, right up near me. Oh, she's taking a nap. Ask her if she wants. Should we? Okay. Okay.
Okay. Anybody need a
partner? Anyone need a partner that doesn't have a partner that would like one? Could I see your hands if you need a partner? Okay, just come up toward the front. We'll fix you up.
Anybody need a sheet?
Okay. Well.
Husbands and wives can do each other.
Yeah, I know. I just don't. Okay, I can maybe do it with her, and I can talk and purr at the same time, maybe. Okay. All right. Are you ready? What's the first thing we're going to do?
Effleurage.
Okay. That's the coasting part. Okay. She's even going to effleurage my microphone wire. I should sound better. All right. So you go over that several times with good firm rub. And then we switch into the shoulder and neck petrissage, which is the kneading using the palms of your hands and the fingers. And you get the nape of the neck and the shoulders. And you sort of knead them on one side and then get that several times and then switch over to the other side. And it feels so good on those tight muscles, you know, if you have tight shoulder muscles or whatever, it really feels good. What is the time of period that we're aiming at to do the whole procedure? About 5 minutes. And we could do it for how long if we're not busy?
10 minutes.
It works out real nice for 10 minutes. All right, let's shift gears into effleurage now. We've finished the petrissage. We're going to do effleurage a little bit. And then the next step is step number 3, the palm friction. So if you start at the bottom and work up, according to the notes in here, using the heel of your hand, move in a circular motion alongside the spine, beginning from the bottom and working toward the top, which we mean up toward the shoulders. Work one side first, go up and then down, and if you have time, come up and down again on one side. And remember, you're standing to the side of the person, not straight behind them, because you can't really get the rhythm and the pressure if you're directly behind them doing this. So whenever you work on one side of a person, you stand on the opposite side, and that lets you have your hand out comfortably to be able to do it. So now we're working on the other side. This was called palm friction. And you'd finish by coming back up towards the shoulders. And now you switch to effleurage. Remember, you can keep your notes on your table until you're comfortable with the procedure. Next, we're going to be doing digital friction up near the neck. You take your thumb on one side of the neck and your index finger and middle fingers on the other side, and you rub the neck muscles with a circular motion. You rub from the base of the skull to the base of the neck. Maybe this is where the term originated, necking. No, I guess it wasn't. Anyway, you have to remember, it was our anniversary yesterday, and so it's on my mind. Oh, no, that sounds worse. Never mind. Okay. It's getting worse. Let's stick to the notes. Number 5. Okay. So after the digital friction, back to petrissage, back to effleurage. Okay. Is it working better for you today? Those of you that did it yesterday?
Yeah.
Feel more comfortable?
Yeah.
Wait till tomorrow. It'll even be better. Okay. Now we're going to get ready for that tapotement. I don't know if any of you tried that last night on your thigh, but that's a good place to practice. Very rubbery wrists and very rapid, where you can almost not see your hands moving. Kind of hummingbird style. But light taps. And it just stimulates those nerves very nicely, and it gives you a variety that you wouldn't have otherwise. And when you get tired of doing that, switch back to effleurage. Because you get tired of it before they will. It's a lot of energy there to do your fingers, your sides just that way. Sure. Okay, and then we're ready to now move into the nerve vibration, just using the fingertips and just gracefully going over the back, sort of around it, and just tapering off lighter and lighter. And it just gives them the message that things are finishing. And it's a nice, quiet way to end. Okay, now, if you were going to do your expo for several nights, you would say to them, hey, come on back tomorrow. I'll be happy to do you again. Always look for a way to get people to come back to your meetings, right? All right. Now, I'd like to have you come on up. We're going to switch into two groups. Yes, sir.
May I say something? My daughter...
We're running short of time. Can you keep it real short? Okay.
Too hard. She put too much pressure, and it actually hurt.
How was it today?
So be careful.
Okay. Yeah, I had that happen once, too. I had a Russian one that I'll never forget. In Ukraine, it was almost Russian. Anyway, all right. Part of you come up on this side over here with Phoebe, and part of you can come over here. We're going to be doing two things, and we'll switch in a minute, so you get to do both of them. But we're going to be practicing the body fat scale. Some of you are just dying to have that information, I know. Others of you don't want it, you just want to watch, I know. And then over here, we're going to do the peak flow meter. So just join around, and we'll try to work with all of you. No, you don't need to, just so they can see how to get the results. All right, I'm going to take the microphone off, or they can turn it off too, because I'll just talk to you individually.